I'll start with a general idea and then I'll explain it, hopefully in parts clear enough that you can put it together in your mind and in your heart. It is ingrained in us. We are born as a kind of seeker. There's no escaping it. Everyone, no matter who they are, is born with a wish that can't be extinguished, regardless of what the person encounters as a result of it, with a wish that can't be extinguished to belong to something greater than themselves. It's the root, really, of spiritual life. It's the root of all things religious. Is a wish that is sown into the heart, not by the individual who becomes his or her name with their culture and their conditioning, to belong to something that is greater than themselves. But along with that wish to belong to something greater than ourselves, we are also seated with, given at birth as part of our possibility, a certain capacity. And the capacity we're given is to be able to create for ourselves a life. We are created, we are a creation, and we are a creation that can create. We don't know much about the fact that we're a creation, but we sure have a lot of ideas about what it means to create for ourselves our lives. Now, the individual, empowered, if you will, given the gift of being able to create for themselves the life that they imagine, that individual doesn't know, cannot know at that point, that whatever it is that their mind creates for themselves can never be the larger world they want to enter into, because it has come to them from a world that is already smaller than themselves. It comes from a world of thought. It comes from a world of imagination. But we don't know that, and we spend our time for many, 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 many years, and perhaps for more years than an individual is capable of saying, caught up in this constant struggle to at once enter into something, to be a part of something that's bigger than myself, greater than myself, and at the same time, with everything that I attempt to make from myself that seems to be larger than myself, I actually enter into something smaller. And there's a great frustration that comes with that. You know the frustration of achieving, accomplishing what you believe is going to be this greater world, only to find out when you get there that it wasn't the greater world, and that there's still an emptiness inside of you. There's still unhappiness inside of you, dissatisfaction. And I tell you, the good news is that you are also given at birth, with your birth, the ability to use everything that happens to you as you try to find a bigger life, make a bigger life for yourself. To use everything that shows you that you can't do it to bring you eventually to a point where you're willing to understand something that doesn't matter how many people have said it over the millennia, doesn't matter how many times I'll say it to you, you cannot know it until you know it from yourself. And it's connected with the larger world that you want to know. Before you can know God's joy, before you can know God's expanse, you have to know God's sorrow. You have to know God's emptiness. See, in your mind, you think to yourself, I want to be part of a larger world. And you, without knowing it, turn to the parts of you capable of creating through imagination this larger world. Because when you imagine heaven, when you imagine where you're going, when you imagine all the beauty and the glory and the love and all the things that you have been very subtly conditioned to experience over millennia, then as the mind creates the image, you feel like I've entered into a larger world. Have you not felt like that? You know, boy, that's fantastic. And you're hearing the singing and you're seeing the goodness and all that, and you're all involved in it. And then you find out the next moment that something turns you into a petty little creature and there's nothing larger in you. And the whole thing, the kingdom you entered into, wasn't a kingdom at all. Well, it was a kingdom, but it was a self-created kingdom. A kingdom created by this mind. Not the kingdom of love, not the kingdom of the heart. And so there is a set of very distinct points, and I use that word carefully, along the path where an individual starts to understand that if I really want, meaning if I want to answer, address this part of me that from whatever age it was there said, you know what, you know you are, and I'll use a host of different worlds, you know you're meant to roam the universe. That inwardly you're not meant to be shackled to the things you're shackled. You know you're not supposed to be shackled. And so here I am, I'm shackled to these little petty things, these fears connected to whatever it is that's going on in the world, and all of it's the fear of losing something of myself. And inwardly, there's this tremendous struggle because I want to be open and completely connected to the larger world, and at the same time, everything in me is trying all the time to protect the little world that I've already made for myself, even as I imagine a bigger one to enter into. Is it not true? And what human beings don't understand, but are created to understand and will be led to that understanding if they hold true to their wish, is that in order to be a part of the bigger world, you have to do your part in it. And to do your part in it doesn't mean that you are doing something. It means you are sharing in the world that you want to be a part of. Not imagining a world that you share in the joy that you've brought as some conditioned experience. But you understand, and lots of ways to explain this. Look, when you look out and you see nature, because I like to, you know, I'm a naturalist and I love to use nature to explain these things. You know that you can't look at a tree, whether it's in a winter state or a full-blown summer state. You can't connect the tree disconnect the tree from the ground that it's in. You can't disconnect the ground from the way the earth has created it. You can't disconnect the air, the birds and the bees. All of these things are connected, and all of these broad connections belong to a world that is greater than any one thing in that world. And if it weren't for the broader world, the one thing in it wouldn't even exist. Well, so it is with human consciousness. But in order to share in this broader world, the thing that your, if you will, your soul is reaching for, you have to accept all that one's soul is. And one soul is not this individualized identity that you've connected as to something that's going to go on at some point. And the principal reason that you don't have this communion is because something in you has cut you off. Because every time that you even have a moment where you're still, you will feel in that stillness some kind of suffering. You'll be aware of some disturbance. And never, by the way, more so than in the last week or two. Do you think that you're not connected to everything that's happening in this world? I'm not talking about imagining a connection. I'm not talking about whopping up compassion for a people on the other side of the planet. I'm talking about the fact that this consciousness right now is suffering tremendously. And if you really want to be part of the larger world, you have to accept what it means to be present to that, which is an act of sacrifice. Because for a human being to be still, really still, and open themselves, meaning be as present as one can to all that they are. Well, all that you are is all there is. And all there is has suffering in it. Because suffering is part of death, and death is the same as birth. They don't exist independently. But we don't want the death part. We don't want the suffering. We don't want to feel all those things that when we even start to have a tiny feeling of them, we shut it out. And how do we shut it out? By creating a story that explains to us what that pain is about and then what we're going to do to escape it. So the mind involves itself in a world that it has no business being in, which is why it involves itself in that world, because that's the only way it can protect its precious images, its precious identity, is by isolating oneself from the very condition that the consciousness longs to know, to be a part of. People talk about praying and wanting to help the world and all that business. I'm not saying that it's wrongfully intended, but I will tell you the majority of it is secretly self-serving. You want to be part of the larger world, which you do, learn to carry your share of it. Learn to carry your share of it. There's nothing romantic in it. It is Christ's life. In order to share in this larger world, you have to assume your share of its burden. You can't have one without the other. I'm telling you, you will come to this one day, God willing, through your own work, you'll make these gradual inroads, and you'll recognize that how much of your time is spent simply avoiding whatever it is that the moment is revealing to you about yourself. Because you see, the part of you that is right now what the creator in your life, it is capable of instantaneously taking what you're experiencing, the potential of this larger world, and instantly closing it up into a little tiny ball that it recognizes and then tries to do something with it so that you don't experience your full possibility. The individuals in this world who belong to the larger world have always said the same things. There is a cost. There is a price. And as long as a man or a woman remains part of this separatist action that the mind is so clever at producing a feeling of, can you imagine how much a human being, when they don't want to deal with just seeing the way things are, how the mind is capable of closing off the heart from the actual condition by creating something that it finds more preferable than that. So I end with this idea. Just try to remember that right now, as I'm speaking to you, wherever you are listening to this, you have the capacity. You're created to fulfill the wish that was born in you to be a part of the larger world. But to be a part of the larger world, you have to accept your share of it. And your share of it is in being present to it. As strange as it sounds, it isn't your suffering. It isn't your suffering. When you get quiet and you feel still and you feel that suffering, that agitation, the disturbance, whatever the particular mode may be, it isn't yours. But the creating mind, the mind that wants to be in charge, it will make it yours by resisting it. It will make it yours by explaining it. It's not yours. And the only way you understand eventually, and the only way you know freedom, by the way, freedom from fear, it is to enter into that long enough to let the mind get so weary with explaining it to you that you can no longer accept any explanations for your state. And then, not because you have done something actively, but because you've negated what has kept you from the broader world, you suddenly recognize and realize this is what my heart has been looking for. This is what I've always wanted. Can you imagine a human being recognizing that the grandest thing they can do in this life is agree to share a part of this world that they have avoided, that something in them has avoided since time began? So it isn't that the door isn't always open to us, because it is. It's just that we have to see how futile it is to paint the door, walk around it, blame others because it's closed, because none of that's true. I just have to be willing to see the fact of myself, let myself stand there, if you will, and the rest is done for you. That's the mystery. You cannot know in advance what you do. You can only know in advance that what you've done hasn't brought you into that larger world.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts along with a host of life-changing information. That's guyfinley.org.